Grand Slam for Masters!
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is Cal Adomaitis. He's a long snapper for the NFL's Cincinnati Bengals. He is currently entering his fourth season playing in Cincinnati. Played his collegiate ball at the University of Pittsburgh, and also is a native of the Steel City. I'd like to welcome Cal to Blessed to Play. Cal, it's great to have you on.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Well, let's talk about this intimate connection with football. I know that you grew up in a city where I think football is the dominant sport, but just talk about your love for the game and early on how you drew some interest to play the game.
Yeah, absolutely. The first time I ever played organized football, I have to give my older brother Graham credit. He was the one who got the sign-up sheet from school when they made announcements that there'd be, you know, sign-ups for football, and he rushed home with the sign-up form. And since Graham was doing it, I was like, shoot, I gotta do this as well, and kind of fell in love with it from the start. Just football has always been a part of my life and my family's life. And, you know, growing up in Pittsburgh, obviously football is a huge part of the culture there. And, my parents are both from Pittsburgh and grew up in kind of the glory days of 70s sports in Pittsburgh, especially football. So it definitely has always been a part of our lives. And then, up through high school, you know, going to the Central Catholic, which is a school in Pittsburgh, it's known for a great football program, has produced a lot of great football players. So it's definitely ingrained in my life in a lot of ways.
Well, Central Catholic indeed has produced a lot of great NFL players, including obviously Dan Marino. And you played with a number of high-touted players as well. But Cal, you decided to stay home. You did really well at Central Catholic, and you decided to stay there and play for the Panthers at the University of Pittsburgh. Just talk about that decision. Was it an easy decision to stay home, or other schools were vying for you? How did that process play out?
Yeah, to be quite honest, I wasn't a hugely recruited player out of high school, but my dream growing up was always to play Power Five collegiate football at the, you know, at the highest level, and had a couple opportunities coming to fruition as a tight end fullback at smaller schools, D2, maybe D1AA schools. But Pitt was the one that, you know, had the full court press on me as a long snapper to come in and be preferred walk on there and long snap for them. And when I talked to my parents about it, and my dad in particular, always had a saying for my brothers and I, that was just, you gotta do what you're most motivated to do. And Power Five football at, you know, the University of Pittsburgh where I grew up, certainly was that. And so I just went for it, and it ended up being one of the best decisions I ever made.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer. We're chatting today with Cal Adomaitis. He's a long snapper for the NFL's Cincinnati Bengals. Talk about your family. Was it a competitive family? Where did you get that competitive desire? Where did you derive that from?
Yeah, I definitely think growing up the youngest of three brothers had an effect on that. You know, every day we were outside competing in something, whether it be wiffle ball or football or frisbee or basketball, literally anything. It was always a competition between the three of us. But, luckily I had two good older brothers as well, too. So they were they didn't beat up on me too hard, so I learned a little sportsmanship, too.
I want to talk about long snapping. It is a specialty position, but most people aren't familiar with the position. I mean, if you don't mess up, no one hears about you, right? You don't get a lot of credit from the fans.
Yeah, you know, I was told kind of at a young age, the best long snapper will be a guy that you never hear his name, and it definitely makes sense because – you know, if the long snapper's doing his job, he's probably the most anonymous player on the field.
How many reps do you have to put in just to perfect that? I mean, I'm thinking that it's rep after rep after rep. Do you just keep doing that thousands of times and it just becomes like second nature for you?
Yeah, I'd say certainly earlier on in high school when I was first learning to long snap, and then early on in college, it was more just getting the repetitions of it and building the muscle memory. But kind of as you get older, I think you develop the skill to be a little more efficient at your work and develop a better, I guess, feel for your body so that you can maybe snap less total reps or snap less balls in total, but still get what you need in terms of technique development and the work you need. Because, you know, I always compare it to, I'm a big baseball fan and grew up playing a lot of baseball, and I kind of always compare it to pitching. You know, my sessions, they kind of feel like bullpens a little bit for a pitcher. So it's just, you got to find a good balance between the reps, but then also meaningful reps and not overdoing it.
Talk about what goes on at the line of scrimmage, the jabbering going back and forth. Did your trash talk game have to evolve as you progressed, you know, from high school to college to the pro level?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, in college, you know, everyone's a little younger and maybe a little wilder in that way, and just will say some crazier things at any given moment. But definitely in high school, there's a little trash talk. I think a lot of guys are just trying to make sure they're in the right place, doing the right thing in high school. And then, you know, and then in the NFL, I think is when you get some guys who are just altogether more skilled as football players and therefore have the mental capacity to do the right thing, be in the right place, and maybe think of something actually clever to say to the guy across them. So I say it develops with each level of football.
Yeah, you're perfecting that art for sure. Now, I want to talk about this talent for long snapping, because you were the Atlantic Coast Conference ACC long snapper of the year, first team, I should say, and then you were an All-American, so you knew you had a talent. Is this when the thought of perhaps taking your talents to the next level start to evolve, or did you have that dream all the way through high school into college? When did that really solidify in your mind?
Yeah, to be honest, I think the first time the dream to play in the NFL kind of became a reality in my eyes, obviously it's something I always dreamed of, but it actually was at going into my senior year of high school. I went to pitch specialist camp to compete with the other snappers and kickers and punters and just see where I was at, and ended up doing very well and won like the MVP for the camp. And Andre Powell, the special teams coordinator and running backs coach at Pitt, who was my coach at Pitt as a long snapper, when we were wrapping up, he came up to my dad and I and basically said, "Hey, I'm sure your son would enjoy snapping that ball between his legs for $1 million, a bit more than working in some cubicle for a bank." And my dad and I both were kind of like, "Yeah, absolutely." And obviously it was very early at that time, and, sure, you know, still had to take care of business with school and my career at Pitt, but I definitely, you know, always appreciated that belief that he had in me from the basically first time I met him. And so that was meaningful to me and really kind of slapped me in the face of like, wow, okay, like if I work really hard at this, you know, I can be good at it and potentially play professionally. And it was coming from a coach who had coached other long snappers into the league as well. So that was probably the first time where I was like, okay, this dream I have could become a reality if I do this the right way.
Yeah, I got to chuckle about the way that was put, you know, $1 million to snap a ball through your legs. You don't think of it in those terms, but essentially that's what it is, right? Blessed to play Ron Meyer. We're joined once again by Cal Adomaitis. He's a member of the Cincinnati Bengals. He plays against his childhood favorite team at least twice a year in Pittsburgh. And in fact, I got to caught up with Cal when he came to Pittsburgh, and they won the last game of the season against the Steelers. He had a good game. So you were unselected in the 2022 draft, and then you were signed by the Bengals as an undrafted free agent. Talk about that, because I know you were waived on August 30th, and then you signed to the practice squad the next day, but I think an injury opened up an opportunity for you. But just talk about that, you know, that time when you were unselected, then signed as an undrafted free agent for the Bengals.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every kid has the dream of, you know, hearing their name called in the draft. And I had a pretty solid career at Pitt. And, you know, typically there had been maybe one snapper drafted. I don't want to say a year, but every year or so there'd be a snapper drafted in the NFL draft. And so I, you know, thought I might have potentially had a chance as a late round draft pick. And, you know, that was definitely a dream as well. But realistically, too, when it came down to it, being undrafted kind of gave me the opportunity to make my decision where I I thought it would fit best and have the best chance to have a long and successful career. And Cincinnati was that place for me. Obviously, I knew I'd have to compete with a great long snapper, Clark Harris, who played in the league for 14 or 15 years and was outstanding at his job. And so then signed with Cincinnati, competed with Clark, had a good camp, did well, but they just, coming off of going to the Super Bowl and hoping to be a deep playoff contender again, they kind of went with Clark as a trusted veteran, and then signed me back to the practice squad. Then week one versus the Steelers, actually Clark went down with a bicep injury, and I was inactive that week on the practice squad. So following that, got the call and was right back in the mix. And from week two on through the end of that season in the AFC Championship, got my chance to show my stuff as a rookie. It's another one of those instances in life for me where it's not exactly how you draw it up, but I look back and all the memories from that year and the lessons I learned, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
All right, let's take a break. On the other side, we'll continue our discussion with Cal Adamidis. He's a long snapper for Cincinnati Bengals. We'll talk about why faith is so important to him in his everyday life. Keep it here. You're listening to Blessed to Play.
Lent is a religious springtime, a time of spiritual renewal. It's a time when God wants to give us new grace and new life.
EWTN, your Lenten companion.
EWTN Religious Catalog is your online destination for Catholic books, DVDs, rosaries, and devotionals, and every purchase directly supports EWTN's mission. Buy Catholic. Shop EWTNRC.com today.
On the next Beacon of Truth, we're talking Lenten sacrifices and Soulful Psalm 78.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and I invite you to join me for Beacon of Truth.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Cal Adamidis. He's a long snapper, a specialty position in the NFL. And he plays for the Cincinnati Bengals, has been doing so for three seasons. He'll be entering his fourth season, playing right there in the Queen City. But something that a lot of people don't know about Cal is his life of faith and why it's so important to him. So, Cal, I know you grew up Catholic, but just talk about the faith environment that you were grew up in, and maybe how your parents had an impression on you in your faith life early on.
Absolutely. My parents were always a great example of the faith and living out the faith in my life, and passed it on to my brothers and I. And in addition to my parents being great examples of loving Catholic parents, my brothers really were great role models for me. And especially during those years of high school and even college, when sometimes through those adolescent years, can't say that, there's, I guess just naturally there's a little rebellious streak in all of us at that age, but having two older brothers who were close to my age and were deeply rooted in their faith, just were great examples for me to follow, especially during those times of life.
Now, you went to Central Catholic High School, and I know Catholic formation is always at the forefront of a young person's life, and just talk about that. I'm sure that aided in your faith formation as well.
For sure. And I think, one of the most special things about Central Catholic and my Central experience was just the fact that kind of no matter what you were doing at Central Catholic, no matter what you were into or what you studied, what sports you did, there were people in that realm that were deeply rooted in their faith and were growing, you as a young man and a young man rooted in faith. And for me, it was primarily football, also, some baseball and some other activities, but I just think back to my high school football coaches who were some of the most formative people in my young adulthood, and great football coaches, great men who taught us to play the game the right way and to play the game like men, and and then also just taught us to lean into our faith and to really frame everything through the lens of faith in our lives, and and just see everything as an opportunity to grow in faith.
Has that helped you out in your life as you progressed and became, a talented football player, and then the notoriety and all that, to keep your identity focused on who you are in your faith life rather than just be, you know, I'm not Cal, just the great football player, but I also have a relationship with God, and that kind of molds me to who I am as well.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, you know, none of us are perfect yet, and we're all, you know, on our faith journey, but I think at a young age, it just taught me to embrace, you know, my journey and always stay rooted in it. And, you know, there's always going to be ebbs and flows. There's always mm-hmm. going to be times where you're, you know, living better than other times or feeling more in tune with God in your life than other times. But I think it just taught me at a young age to always just keep it as a part of my life and, yep. and just keep checking in with it and keep pursuing it. And just keeping that relationship and that door open, because it's always going to be worth it. And it's just a part of life that gives life so much more meaning than if it wasn't a part of my life, I guess.
Yeah, well said. I like that. Keep it real, because it's a growth process, right? We're not this perfect entity that is going to be perfect all the time, but to have that reflective component in our life to grow and to learn. I mean, just like athletes, we learn from our mistakes, we try to correct them and get better at what we do. I think that applies to the faith life as well. Blessed to play Ron Meyer. We're chatting with Cal Adamidis, long snapper for the NFL's Cincinnati Bengals. Now, Cal, haven't been around the NFL for a number of years. There's a lot of outward expression of faith. I know there's faith in the locker room. There's masses said. Were you surprised by the faith environment, or does it help you grow in your faith? Just talk about that environment of faith and spirituality in the NFL locker room.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I can only primarily speak from our locker room in Cincinnati, but I do have to say I was pleasantly surprised by the faith culture in Cincinnati and in our locker room. And, you know, our team chaplain is a guy, Vinny Ray, who played 9 years in the league for Cincinnati and only retired about 5-6 years ago. So he's a very real example of a guy who had an excellent, outstanding NFL career as a linebacker in the NFL and always stayed in touch with his faith and is now back in our locker room, just helping keep us rooted in our faith and keep us growing in our faith. So it definitely was a pleasant surprise to know that the faith culture is very real in the NFL and certainly in Cincinnati.
So I want to talk about a faith moment that intersected football and faith in a very intimate way for you. And some people may not be aware that you were a high school teammate of Damar Hamlin. And it just so happened that unfortunate incident happened when they were playing the Bengals. And you were on the field, and obviously Damar was in a serious situation, and the whole world was praying for him, and you got to see that firsthand look. And like I mentioned, it was a very intimate connection. Reflecting back on that, talk about that moment, how it affected you, and the aftermath of the outpouring of faith for Damar, and by you, of course, as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely kind of one of those days that, even thinking back on it, still kind of at a loss for words to really describe the feeling, but just was surrounded by obviously a lot of great people, and the same great people who have been around me my entire time in Cincinnati. And you know, at the point in time that it happened, you know, I don't think as many people on my team were kind of aware that, you know, I had known Damar through high school and then played with him at Pitt as well. But yeah, just felt the outpouring of love and support, and knew that him as well, he was in great hands with our athletic staff and their care, and, you know, the UC health system and all the doctors and nurses there, that they were taking great care of him. And just knew that in addition to all that, there was a very, very strong faith community in Cincinnati on our team that was lifting him up through prayer, lifting, you know, me up through prayer, and just felt very supported and loved. And, you know, we prayed together as a team in the locker room for him. And you know, our captains went over to Buffalo's locker room and kind of checked in with their captains just to see what their feeling was. And Yeah, I don't know. It's tough to certainly tough to describe the mix of emotions that day. But, you know, thinking back on it, just very blessed that, you know, there were so many great people thinking and praying for him and for the doctors and all the people working on him as well, that, you know, there were lots and lots of people really thinking for him and praying for him. And yeah, so that's about the gist of kind of my memory of that day.
Yeah. It's hard to put in words, especially for you. It's a surreal moment, something that transcends sometimes our own thoughts and how we could put that into words. But certainly a lot of blessing has came out of that. Obviously, you're playing a violent sport, and having witnessed that, and you've witnessed a lot of injuries, obviously, playing the game at a high level. How do you prepare for that before a game? Do you? I would imagine that faith plays a component of that, because you can't control everything that's going to happen to you, but you want to stay safe, obviously.
Absolutely. I think, you know, that's where in some ways, or in a lot of ways, football has grown my faith, and just the aspect of it being a violent game and you know, there being real danger at times playing the sport of football, but just being rooted in my faith and knowing that, you know, God is with us through all of our trials, and he's with all the players playing, and he's with us always, you know, as long as we invite him into whatever we're doing. And that doesn't, and football is no different from that. And so, you know, we prepare very hard during the week, during the week is the time to, you know, work your tail off so that when Sunday comes around, you know, you can just be at peace knowing that as long as you invite him there, God is there with you, and you know, just have faith knowing he's there with you and enjoy playing the game that you're blessed to play. And other than that, you know, just focus on what you can control, because there's always things that are outside of your control, and football is very much a microcosm of life. So it's just have faith in that way too.
So I want to talk about the first time you played the Steelers, because here you are, you grew up in the Steel City, you're a Pittsburgh Steeler fan, and now you're in their division competing, a rival of sorts. What was it like playing against the Steelers for the first time?
It was so much fun. I definitely is another day that I'll never forget, and my whole family was there for that one, and it was a cold, like late November, maybe early December, mm-hmm. was the time of year when we went up to Pittsburgh to play them. But yeah, it was awesome. You know, just something definitely that, I had, just a dream coming to fruition, I guess, you know, to suit up and play them and to beat them too was a lot of fun.
Talk about your relationship with the kicking unit, if you will. I mean, is that a kind of a brotherhood in and of itself? The punter, the kicker, the long snapper, how do you guys jive with one another?
Yeah, certainly in the NFL, you know, there's a greater range of, I think, ages and lifestyles in a locker room compared to high school and college. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, you know, the guys in your position group are usually end up being the guys you spend the most time with and just get to know the best. And, you know, for me, it's Evan McPherson, our kicker, who's been there my whole time. And then, you know, we've had a couple different punters since I've been there, but all great guys. And, you know, our current punter, Ryan Rico, is a great guy. And, you know, all just very faith-filled guys and great guys to spend a lot of time and work around, and certainly makes for a healthier working unit when in terms of, you know, some of your top priorities in terms of faith and family and football, you know, the three F's, not to be corny or anything, but but knowing that those align between us, it definitely makes it easier to work together and to know that, you know, we're all on the same team, not only in football, but in life as well.
Have you had to become a bit of a psychologist with the kicking and punting unit? Say Evan's going through a bad streak or the punter's not doing well. Do you know what to say, or is that part of your role as a long snapper?
You know, at times it is, but I think at this point in time in our career as well, you know, we're all professionals and, you know, have, I think most of us have dived into psychology in some regard, just as a, mm-hmm. as an athlete through the sports psychology realm. I know I certainly have. And so, you know, I think most of the time I'm just balancing, okay, is this a time where I should try to say something, or, you know, just give him his space and let him figure it out. Cause, you know, obviously you want to be supportive, but sometimes as well, since we're all pros, you know, the best thing to do is just give someone a little space to take a deep breath. And whenever they're ready to check back in, you're just like, all right, let's get back to it.
Yeah, just go back at it again and try to hope for a better result. All right, Cal, in our remaining moments here, I know you're on the football field, you're training 24/7, you know, your time's occupied, but to get away from the sport, what do you do? What's a good diversion for Cal Adamidis?
You know, one of my favorite diversions and something I'm, you know, starting to heat up right now, but I do love watching hockey. Mm-hmm. It's probably my favorite sport to watch just as a fan. And, you know, growing up, obviously rooted for the Penguins a lot. And, you know, that's probably the one Pittsburgh team that I still root for, just since there's no, you know, Cincinnati affiliate that competes with them. So, you know, I feel like I can still root for the Pens a little bit. But, yeah, definitely watching hockey. Had a great time watching the Four Nations Cup. That was a blast. And unfortunately, the U.S. lost to Canada in the final, but still a great game. And an awesome opportunity to watch some of the best hockey players in the world all on the same ice together. But yeah, that's definitely my go-to distraction in the off season is watching a lot of hockey.
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to enjoy the Olympics coming up, the Winter Olympics, where all the nations will be represented, and a big hockey tournament to go on. But the Four Nations was just a little precursor to that and very enjoyable to watch. Well, Cal Adamidis has been our guest, doing a yeoman's job long snapping the ball for the Cincinnati Bengals and talking about his life of faith. He's more than just talent, but give it some insight into, you know, where his soul is. And I really thank Cal for coming on Blessed to Play and sharing that with us today. Cal, thanks so much. All the best your upcoming season with the Bengals. And thank you for joining us right here on Blessed to Play.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed2play.com. You can like us on Facebook, hit us up on the platform X at Blessed to Play. For Cal Adamidis, I'm Ron Meyer. Thanks so much for joining us right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed2play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed2play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.